Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Warehouse Foursquare Church in Astatula, Florida. Here at the Warehouse, we believe that the Word of God is much more than just information. It's been given to us for transformation. So take the next few moments as you listen to this message and receive what God has for you today.
Turn with me to Luke chapter 21 and 1 Kings chapter 17. I'd like to continue today in our series called Desperate. We've all heard the saying that desperate times call for desperate measures. And while that's true, to a point, I believe that our perspective is unique simply because we're a child of God. You see, as a child of God, though we probably at times have felt desperate, we've felt as though our back is against a wall, between a rock and a hard place, all those sayings, you know, we felt as though we were desperate in a desperate situation and definitely have faced hard times, we're by no means desperate in the context of being hopeless. No hope. Desperate means having no hope and maybe no help, or if so, very little help. There just doesn't seem to be a light at the tunnel. That's not the case for the child of God. We are by no means hopeless or helpless. Amen. Jesus said in John chapter 10:10 that even though Satan comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, he assures us that he is there to give us life, amen, and give us life to the full. In other words, not just a portion to skip by on, just barely making it, but I believe that God can give us life to the full, meaning that he'll give us strength to overcome the challenges that we face, amen. He'll give us blessing in our lives that not only supplies all of our needs, but there's something left over so that we can give in to every good work, like 2 Corinthians tells us to. He gives us peace in the midst of the storm, and he gives us contentment in the midst of a restless world. I mean, we've got it made, saints. It may not feel like it sometimes, but because we are in Christ and he is in us, he gives us joy beyond measure. And if that's not enough, when things wrap up here, when our assignment is done, he's got a better place waiting for us that he's preparing for us even now in heaven. I mean, what a deal. Amen. That's the kind of life I want to live. How about you? But how do I live that kind of life in the times that we live in? In Luke chapter 21, Jesus is teaching and he's talking about the very day that you and I live in. And he said, in this day that we're living in, there's going to be a lot of unrest. How many are seeing the effects of the unrest that's in the earth today? All kinds of things happening. He said there's going to be a great push against the church by Satan to try to defeat the church and to try to stop God's will in the earth in these last days. But check this out in verse 18. Jesus said that in spite of this attack, he said that not a hair on your head, now there again he's talking to his children, will perish. He said, by standing firm. In other words, by standing up against, you know, in football, if you don't want to get run over, you have to meet your opponent with not only as much force, but more than they are coming at you with. Or else you're going to get just, and that's it, and they're going to keep after it. And so for us, by standing firm, what we are doing is we are standing up against the force that is pushing against us. And we are meeting it with the appropriate force, not only to stand firm, but to move forward and advance the kingdom of God. How does that happen? The only way that happens is by the Holy Spirit inside of us, empowering us to do God's will. Amen. Without him, we can do nothing. But with him, we can do what God's called us to do. We can stand firm, meet with the appropriate force, the enemy that's attacking us, those challenges that we face every day. And he said, when we do that, when we trust the Holy Spirit, when we stand firm, he said, we'll gain true life in spite of what's going on around us. That sounds like a good deal to me. Sign me up for that one, right? Yeah, amen. He said that we'll gain true life. That's what the lady did in Mark chapter 5 with the issue of blood. Some thought that she was crazy because she took drastic measures to get to Jesus. But notice what Jesus said about her. He said, daughter, he said, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. They may call what we do desperate measures. And it's only because they don't understand what being a child of God, what being Christian is. All we're doing is we're living by faith. We're meeting force with force. Amen. We're not putting up with those things in our family. It's just like the prophet of old. He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. What was he doing? He was making a stand and he was declaring what was going to happen by the power of God working through him. And we can do the same thing today. Simply meeting force, God's power working in us and through us, taking a stand against the enemy. People may call you crazy, but we're just living out our lives in obedience to God. We're by no means desperate. That's a great place to shout amen. You say, but pastor, you have no idea what I'm feeling right now. I may not understand what you're feeling right now, but I do understand God's power working beyond what I can comprehend to help me through. Because he's done it time after time after time. I may not understand your particular situation, but I understand facing desperate times. And I know that God has brought me through every time. So we're not acting out of desperation. We're simply following Jesus in obedience. So today I want to explore this thought, generosity. Generosity. Now, why would you think that I am wanted to talk about generosity? Before you answer that, I want you to understand desperate times call for generous people. Bottom line, desperate times call for generous people. In the midst of someone's desperation, it takes someone else, like the Good Samaritan. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan. Two had walked by, but he got down in the ditch in the midst of this man's desperation. And he said, regardless of what's going on, I am going to show kindness. I am going to show generosity to you. And in desperate times, it takes generous people to step into someone's desperation and to help them out. So I got a question for you this morning. When I say the word generous, tell me what comes to your mind. When I think of generous, I think of more than enough. When I walk into a buffet or something, I look at that buffet and I think, wow, this is more than enough. A generous portion. And when the bowl is empty, guess what? They bring out another one. Wow. I mean, ample supply. When I think of generous, I think of over the top, if you will, having more than enough, something that's substantial. And while that's true, I think that sometimes when we're called on to be generous, what we would consider to be generous, we kind of shy away. And it's not because we don't want to be generous, but because in our minds we feel as though we don't have enough to be generous. More than enough. Ample supply. The buffet. I don't have that kind of resource. And so what happens is we default to kind of shying away, if you will, from being generous simply because we don't feel as though we can do it with justice. You know what I mean? You know, kind of that over the top thing. But I would submit to you today that I believe that to live a life of generosity, to be a person that is considered to be a generous person, I believe all it takes is to be willing. In 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah has prophesied that there's going to be no rain for quite some time. And so that's exactly what happened. There had been no rain for quite some time. And so because of that, they was headed into deep famine. And so in 1 Kings 17, and let's pick it up in verse 8, the Bible says that the Lord said to Elijah, "Go and live in the village of Zarephath, near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you." Now, some would think that, okay, she's a widow, so probably her husband left her with a lot of wealth, with great supply. You know what I mean? In today's terms, we would think, well, they probably had a big life insurance policy and so on. And so surely she must be doing okay for God to call him to her and for her to provide for him. And so that's probably why God sent Elijah to her. And so Elijah picks up his stuff. He goes to Zarephath. And then look in verse 10. As he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks. Okay, he's probably thinking, yes, she's the one. So let's test the waters. Let's go out. Let's jump in. So he asked her, he said, "Would you please bring me a water?" So far, so good. She's complying. But it doesn't stop there. As she's going, the Bible says in verse 11, as she was going to get it, he calls to her and he says this, "Would you bring me a bite of bread too?" That's no big deal either, right? Cup of water, piece of bread, no problem. That should be okay simply because after all, God told him to go to her, to this widow, and that she would supply him with food. So certainly she must have in order to be able to give. But check this out. She said to him, "I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in my house." Uh-oh, now we got a problem. Not only does she not have a supply of food, but she doesn't even have a piece of bread. And if that's not bad enough, she goes on to say, "I only have a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering some sticks to cook our last meal, and then my son and I will die." I don't know about you, but that sounds to me like desperate times. That sounds like pretty hard times, difficult times. But here's the deal. Even though she didn't have any bread, she had an assignment. What was that? It was to provide for the man of God, for the prophet. And so even though she didn't have any bread, she had this assignment. And so Elijah responds to her and he says, "Don't be afraid." Yeah, easy for you to say, right? You ever been there before? Somebody says, "Oh, it'll be okay." Yeah, easy for you to say. It's not your bill, or it's not your diagnosis, or it's not your problem. It's not your mountain. It's easy for you to say. But that's what he said. "Don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you said, but make a little bread for me first." Here this widow is telling this prophet, "I don't have any. And I've only got enough flour and oil. And my plan is to take that to make one final loaf. And then after we eat it, we're going to literally starve to death." Yet God's asking her to be generous with what she has. Have you ever been in a place where you know God's speaking to you and asking you to give of yourself, but you just have no idea how it's all actually going to work out? In those times, we must be willing to give even when it doesn't make sense. In your walk with Christ, there's going to be times when he's going to ask you, he's going to ask me to do something that just simply doesn't make sense. You don't get it. You don't understand why. You can't wrap your head around it at all. And yet you know without question, inside of you, there's an assignment that God has given to you. Something that he's asking you to do, and you don't have a clue how it's all going to come together because it just doesn't make any sense. When that happens, I would encourage you to remember, first of all, that God sees and operates in conjunction with his will. In other words, he has a will for you which fits into a will in this church house. And this church house has a will for us corporately that fits in with the greater church and the worldwide church. And we could go on and on. His will is for the individual as well as the big picture. and he's always going to be in flow or in conjunction with, if you will, his will. Amen. Which means that people from the individual all the way to the global church are going to be affected by those who are willing to say yes and those who are not willing to say yes. There's going to be an effect that's going to happen. And so I know that in your heart you want to be generous. And so even those times when we don't understand what God is doing, remember he is working his plan. And it's not just individually, but it's for the person you're ministering to, as well as the greater good. Amen. And so even though it may not make sense, what we need to do is be willing to give. It didn't make sense for this widow to give to the prophet first. And yet that's what she was being asked to do. So Elijah says, hey, don't be afraid. You go ahead and do just what you said. Now remember, what is it that she said? I'm going to make the loaf. My son and I are going to eat it. And then we're going to literally starve to death. That's the plan. He said, go ahead and do that if you want. He said, but make me a little bit first. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. Imagine the nerve, if you will, of asking a widow to feed him first before her and her son. There again, we know the story. We know how it ends. We understand what's going on, but she didn't. She's experiencing this real time. So put yourself in her place as your stomach is growling and as you're looking into the eyes of your hungry child and being asked to put the prophet of God before your family. This was her case. This is what was going on. But Elijah knew it and didn't stutter at all. He didn't hem-haw around. He just said, you go ahead and do what you want to do, but first, you make me something. Though Scripture doesn't tell us, I'm sure that that probably kind of stung just a little bit in her ears when she heard it. You got to remember, I'm sure, you know, she's thinking, we're in famine. This is the last that I have. So it kind of stung a little bit. But here's the deal. She was willing to give even if it hurt. You ever been asked to give something and it would really hurt to give it? Oftentimes, in relationships, that happens. We have to give even when it hurts. We have to do something even if it hurts. Why does it hurt? You know, maybe it's something that you really wanted to keep. You really wanted it real bad. You saved for a long time, and now you have it. Maybe in that moment, it's just not convenient. Whatever the case may be, sometimes it can hurt, and there's a lot of reasons why it can hurt. But I think that when we begin to peel some of those reasons away, as legitimate as they are, I think that the majority of the time it hurts simply because of the unknown. What about tomorrow? Especially when you're talking about money. Especially when you're talking about the checkbook. Well, what if there's an emergency tomorrow? What if something's going to happen tomorrow and I need this in case of? And so it kind of digs a little bit deeper into that hurt. What am I going to do if I don't have this and I need this tomorrow? And I'm sure that that passed through this widow's mind. I mean, he wants to give to him first, but we're the ones that are hungry. It's mine. It's my flour, even though it's just a little bit. And it's my oil, even though it's just a little bit. This is mine. And I have responsibility to my family. And yet this guy's coming along and he says to give to him first. But here's the deal. Even though it didn't make sense to her, and undoubtedly it's going to hurt her to give, God, who is rich in mercy, knew exactly what she needed. And so though she didn't understand it in the moment, what God was doing was giving her the option to either eat her seed and die, or sow her seed and live. God was simply trying to work his plan for her life. And you know what? He wants to do the same for us. In desperate times, we often tend to ration because there again, we're not sure about tomorrow. And trust me, that's a good plan. There's no doubt about it. To budget out things and to plan for. I believe that's a godly thing. But here's what happens is there's going to be times when God is going to ask you to step out of your plan and to trust Him in His plan and give. Even if we don't understand, even if it's going to hurt, He's got a different plan for the child of God. And so what we have to remember is that for the child of God, there again, because we're not acting out of desperation, Jesus already won the victory. So we stand from the place of victory, not from defeat. We do. It may not feel like it sometimes, but it doesn't make you any less of a Christian. It doesn't make you any less of God's child. It doesn't mean that one day you're going to spend eternity with Him. None of those things change, regardless of how we may feel in the moment. But for the child of God, doing the will of God, whatever leaves your hand doesn't leave your life. What is God trying to do? God's simply asking you to sow now so that when you need a harvest, you'll have one. Oftentimes we think, okay, if it leaves my hand, it's gone forever. But that's not the case for the child of God. That's why the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, let's not be weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we just don't give up. Stand firm, regardless of the desperate times around you. Stand firm. Don't grow weary. Continue to follow after me. Continue to do good. For when you need it, you'll have it. Therefore, here's what he says. Because of that principle that God established in the earth for us, he said, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who belong to the family of believers. See, what we have to remember is that there's a greater plan that's at work. Even if it doesn't make sense, even if it's going to hurt, we just have to simply be willing to give. Elijah said to this widow, looking at verse 14, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, that there'll be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. So what was her response? She went away and did as Elijah told her. And look what happened. So there was food every day for Elijah, for the woman, and for her family. For the flour was not used up, and the oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. You see, though she was living in desperate times, she was willing to give to God first. What did God do? God responded by providing for the prophet, for providing for her, and providing for her family. Not just that day, but throughout the entire famine. What do you have that you can give to God first in your life? How about your time? We may not be promised tomorrow, but you know we do have now. We have right now, the here and the now. And so because we have the now on our journey, on that day-to-day stuff that we're doing, I would encourage you to be sensitive to those round about you and be open to allow God to minister through you to them, because I guarantee He'll be wanting to. He'll want to encourage them just like He wants to encourage you. Do you know what else you can give? You have a story. Did you know that there's actually people who want to hear your story? Seriously? Oh, yeah. There's people that want to hear your story. And here's what will happen is God will allow your path to cross with them so that you can give your story to them and tell them how God helped you and how He rescued you and how He encouraged you and how He brought you to this point. And you can share with them that, you know what? The same God that did this for me, He can do it for you. You can give people your patience. What would happen in the world today if we were all just stopped and be kind and gracious and extended mercy to people just like Jesus does to us every day? You can give of your money. You can advance the kingdom of God, tithes, offerings, all of those things that's combined. You can give of your home. You can open up your home to where you can build relationships with neighbors and with friends and with family. What an opportunity that God has blessed us with. It may not be the Taj Mahal, so what? It's yours. And you can have people come into your home and can enjoy good fellowship and can encourage one another. You can help people get to heaven. You know, we could go on and on about all the blessings that God has given us. But here's what I want you to understand is God gave to us first. That's why we have. And so even though things may be rough round about us, you may be in the middle of a situation, you may be facing hard times, there's things that God has called you to do and blessed you with to steward on His behalf. And all He's asking us to do is just to use what He's given us to help people to get to heaven. One of the greatest ways that we can use our resources is to give people to heaven. So be encouraged this morning. Regardless of your checking account, regardless of what you have and what you would consider to be your resource, you can live a life of generosity, and all it takes is just a simple saying, "Yes, Lord, here am I. Send me. Use me. I'm willing."
Hey, just wanted to say thanks for listening to the message today. If you'd like more teaching or information about The Warehouse, you can go to our website at twfcastatula.org. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God in heaven, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to say welcome to the family of God. And make sure you go to our website, get our contact info, and email us or call us. We want to send you a Bible, some information about your new life in Christ, and what you need to do next. We also want to help you find a church where you can get plugged into and grow in Christ. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you, and may He give you His peace.